Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at our I Am series, which was looking at who Jesus says he is. And we've been really looking at Jesus' great I Am statements as they're found in John. And we saw that Jesus saw himself in seven kinds of different ways. And this kind of gives us a bit of a Christology, a theology, if you like, of who Jesus is. He said he is the bread of life. He's the one who daily sustains us. He says he's the light of the world. He's the one who comes to shine light on our spiritual darkness ever since the world fell into sin. Jesus said that he is the door. He's the gateway back to God the Father. We enter eternal life through him. He said he is the good shepherd. He's the one who cares for his flock. And he said that he is the resurrection and the life, the one who has total power over death and can give eternal life. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's really the only way for people to be saved. There's only just one way back to God the Father, and salvation comes to us through Jesus Christ alone. And then last week, we looked lastly at the fact that Jesus said that he is the true vine. And we saw that that means that God will cut out the dead branches and he will prune the living branches so that we, as his people, engrafted into him, can produce a maximum spiritual fruit. And so that's how Jesus saw himself. But then I guess the question has to be asked is, how does God, or how does Jesus see us? When we walk into church each week, when he looks at this church gathering on the Sunday, what does Christ see? What does God think about what happens here and in the church globally? And how should we respond? How should we live as a church in response to how God sees us as a church? In essence, we're asking the question, what does the Bible say, or what does it mean to be the church today? And this is the question that's going to be occupying our thoughts over the next several weeks. Now, this week we're starting then with this new series on what it means to be the church rather than simply going to church. What does it mean to be the church? Now, this series is going to be very practical, and so I'm just wanting to, set a couple of expectations here. Each week, I'm going to be giving each one of us a little bit of homework to do throughout the week or in the next week as we come to church. And the format of this series is going to look a little bit different to what you might be used to. We're going to be drawing from some material that has been put out by Matthias Media called Six Steps to Loving the Church, because we as a church want to grow as a strong church. We want to be a church that loves one another deeply, that thrives spiritually, that passionately pursues Christ and wants to actively shape the world around us even better than we already do. But for us to do that, we really need to examine the attitudes with which we come to church if we're going to be the church. And so what do we really believe about the church, and how does that affect what happens here both during the week and on a Sunday morning? How do we see ourselves and our roles within our worship services, both before, during, and after what happens in the auditorium here? How do we see one another? Are we coming to receive from God, or are we coming to give to God, or is it a mixture of both? What is a worship service really even all about? Well, we'll be exploring these questions over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to be starting today really quite small, again, very practical. I'm going to be starting by asking the question that might seem like a very odd question, and that is, how do you walk into church? Now, I don't mean physically you use your legs one foot after the other. Obviously, that's how you walk into church. But what are you thinking as you walk into church? And so, as we think about these things, if you are by yourself this morning, what I want to encourage you to do is to grab a pen and a piece of paper. We're going to be looking at a couple of questions in a little while. So, before we get there, I want to encourage you to go do that now. As we think about what are we thinking when we walk into church? We're not on the questions yet, Cassie. So when you walk into church, what is going through your mind? At the moment, what often goes through my mind is you know, I've got to wrangle my four children and my wife as we try to get through the door scanning in through this new QR system we've got to use. What are you thinking about? Let's imagine a couple of different people. Johnny is here at church perhaps for the first time today. Now, these are all fictional people, I want to stress. These are not targeted at anyone. So we're going to have some strange names, but that's okay. Johnny is walking into church for the first time today, and as he walks through the door, he's thinking, what kind of a church is this? What kind of a place is this? As he walks through the door, he's greeted with some artwork on his left that tells him that this is a place that wants to help people take their next step towards Jesus. What does that mean? Johnny is thinking. He's maybe feeling a bit nervous. He's thinking, is there a place for me here? Where can I sit? If Johnny's personality is like mine, he might be thinking, oh goodness, I hope I can dodge all those overly friendly people I see over there. Oh no, here's someone who's coming to shake my hand already. Maybe Johnny is wondering if he will be sitting in someone's spot when he walks in. How can we help someone like Johnny? Mary, on the other hand, has been a church member for as long as she can remember. As long as anyone can remember, in fact. Maybe she grew up in the church, maybe she even founded the church, or maybe she was an early newcomer. No one really remembers because she has been here for so long. But we all know that Mary has her spot. She's like Sheldon, you know, on the Big Bang Theory. And this week she comes in and she finds Johnny sitting there in her spot. And she's thinking, who is that? And what is he doing there? Everyone knows this is my spot. This is the exact perfect location for church. It's close enough to the back so you can quickly exit if you need to. It's far enough away from the front so you don't cop the preacher's spit spray. It's not too close to the sun on either side so you don't get fried during summer. It's far enough away from the musical instruments that you know you'll get a good mix of the sound without getting overwhelmed. Mary is someone who knows how to pick her spots. I remember a story of a deacon in another church, and this church decided it would be a good idea to train up some ushers to help people find a seat on Sunday morning, which sounds like quite a good idea. Now, as part of the training, each person, each usher, had a map where they mapped out where each family sat. And so their training was to memorize the allocated seating, if you like, so that people like Mary don't get upset when people sit in her spot. Now, I think that's a little ridiculous. Maybe you're not like Johnny. Maybe you're not like Mary. Maybe you're more like Jimmy. Jimmy has just gotten into the foyer after the chaos of trying to get to church on time. Maybe Jimmy has a couple of kids, and his alarm didn't quite wake him up as it should have. And now all the children are mucking up. He couldn't get them into the car fast enough. And now he lost his temper at his kids, and now he has to smile at everyone when he gets to church because that's what good Christian people do on a Sunday morning. That's not a story I am familiar with. Or maybe still not much at all is going through your mind. It's all very routine now. We come, we sing, we listen to the announcements, we nod off during the congregational prayer, we sing, we listen to a message which is hopefully interesting. The sermon finishes, we pull out our wallets because we know already that the offering will be taken up after the response song. It's, you know, we think we just have to sit through the benediction so we can get to the coffee. It's all very routine, very familiar. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can probably do it with our eyes closed. And some of us do. And at this stage, we feel like we've heard it all, we've seen it all, we've been part of it all. There is nothing new under the sun at all. Or maybe again, you're like, let's pick Tammy. Tammy sounds like a good name. She just wants to come to church to hear a good message. She's really not interested in all the brouhaha before the actual service begins. And so actually, Tammy purposefully comes late to church. So you can skip all the singing, all the announcements, the children's talk, because she's really here to just grow in God's word. And all that other stuff she feels isn't necessary for her. And then at the other end of the service, Tammy is the first one through the door. Once the service is finished, she might even sneak out during the last song so she can get out of here before someone corners her for a chat over coffee. Well, maybe you're like Tara. I'm running out of names now. Maybe you're like Tara. She loves coming to church. She comes to church every Sunday expectant. She knows that God is going to do something today. She's coming in when she sings in worship song, she sings with a full heart. Once the music starts, she's singing in a full voice, arms raised high, because she is just so thankful for what Jesus has done in her life. And Tara is bringing her friends to church because she knows that even if the sermon is a bit boring this week, that God can do amazing things even with a boring sermon or mediocre singing or dodgy people as we come to gather under His Word. And who knows, Tara thinks, maybe today is the day that God will finally change her friend's heart. She comes expectantly. Maybe you hear yourself in one of these people. Or maybe you feel different all again. How do you walk into church? What are you thinking as you walk into church? What's the attitude with which we come to worship God together on a Sunday morning? You see, the attitude with which we come into church actually matters quite a lot. If we are coming with the wrong motives, the wrong attitudes, unhelpful mindsets, it's going to drastically change how we see the people around us, how we interact with everyone, how free we will feel to be able to sing to God in song. So how do you walk into church? As I mentioned by email this week, we're going to be thinking through and exploring our feelings and thoughts as we come to church, as we walk into church this morning. So we're going to be doing that through some discussion questions. Now, what will happen in a moment is that you will see a couple of questions flash up on your screen. And the idea is that as a family, you would work together through these at home. There'll be about 8 or so minutes for you to do this. From wherever you're streaming in from. And if you are streaming in alone, by all means, welcome. It's good for you to be here. Well, you're welcome at all times. So grab perhaps a journal or a piece of paper if you're by yourself and work through these together by yourself as you write and think through these questions. And our goal here is really to think about what it means for us to be coming to church and what are the attitudes we're bringing and what are we thinking about as we get here. And so we're going to be exploring 4 questions today. What sorts of things do you normally think about as you walk into church? What do you really love about church at the moment? What do you find hard, if anything, about church at the moment? And when the New Testament Christians walked into church, they weren't walking into purpose-built, religious-looking buildings. Mostly, they were walking into someone's home. So how do you think that would have affected the way they thought about walking into church? And so these are the 4 questions we're going to be exploring together. Now, as a family, you'll have somewhere between 8 and 10 minutes to talk through this together. That's actually not a long time. And hopefully there's going to be a little timer on the screen as well that'll help you keep track. And then I'll see you again on the other side. So let's do that now. Thank you. Well, how did you go with that exercise? I hope it wasn't too scary for you or too difficult, but I think it's really important for us, it's really helpful for us to think about how are we coming to church? What's kind of going on in our hearts? Let's explore these things, kind of bring them to the light of day within the safety of our family, and as we think about these attitudes and thoughts as we come to church. But do you know what, friends? It's even more important for us to think about what God thinks about when we're walking into church. What is God thinking as you come to worship Him on a Sunday morning? What's going through God's mind? Is He thinking, well, good, here is XYZ again. That's another tick in their church attendance roll. When I was in Sunday school many years ago now, the Sunday school of my church, they took an attendance roll each week. And at the end of the year, you would actually get rewards for perfect attendance. You'd get this big, shiny metal sticker at the end of each year on a big certificate if you had been faithful in coming to church. Is that what you think God is doing when we come? Or is God perhaps thinking, will they be worshiping me properly today? What do you think God is thinking when He comes to a service? Is He thinking, you know, will the quality of their worship be acceptable in my sight this morning? Will they be singing well or with good quality music, or will they once again just come a little bit hesitant? Will the preaching be excellent or will it be mediocre? Is that the measuring stick that God is using as He thinks about us on a Sunday morning? Well, let's look at what the Bible says, what God is thinking. Let's explore that for a bit. So we're going to be turning now to Ephesians chapter 5 and also 1 Corinthians. And Danica is going to read that for us. So we'll cut to her and then we're going to look at that for a little while.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. According to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one is to be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and that is what you are.
Isn't it interesting, friends, that when the Bible talks about how God sees the church, what God, in a sense, is thinking about the church, is there's nothing in there about our duty before Him. There is nothing in there about how strictly we are to adhere to an order of service, or the quality of our worship, or even the purity of our thoughts as we come to Him on a Sunday morning. You see, the church gathers, and that isn't based on our ability to please God. We're not here to win spiritual brownie points before Him. In a sense, there is no way in which the church can be right or perfect before God, no matter how well we do these things. Because a church community, a community of God's people, gathers together not built on the fact that we can please God, but but built on the fact that God is already pleased with us because of what Jesus has done on the cross. You see, Jesus died for us, not because we were holy and pleasing to God, but precisely because we weren't holy and pleasing to God. Jesus died for us, not because we were holy and pleasing to God, but to make us holy and pleasing to God. That passage from Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that as we gather, God, Jesus died to wash us by his word, that is to make us holy and pleasing. It is through gathering around his word that we are cleansed each week, and that's why preaching is so central to our worship services. And so as we come to church and we engage in the preaching and in the service and so on, that it becomes an active listening as we are washed by God's word. Why did Jesus create the church? Ephesians 5 tells us that it was so that he can present us spotless and blameless before himself. It is through gathering with God's people as we encourage one another, as we confront one another, and in fact as we tell one another what's actually wrong spiritually within our lives, that we are being made spotless and blameless, that we are being changed. The church is in fact a community of people that are actively engaged in one another's lives as we come before God to be made and washed through his word. And so we have a duty towards one another when we come on a Sunday morning to speak God's word to one another. As we then partner with God in a sense in the washing process he is engaged in with us. You know, this passage in Corinthians reminds us that God actually really loves the church. He really loves his church. And he gives this church all these spiritual gifts to build it up. So when we read, for example, the gifts of the Spirit in the Corinthians passage where he says some are given to be apostles, some preachers, some teachers, and all of these other things, these are spiritual gifts that are given to people for the upbuilding of the church. We gather together not simply to come and be fed from the front, but to build one another up as we encourage one another. If we want to be the church and not just come to church, we actually have to see the church like God sees the church. The church is truly special to God. The church is important to God. God actually really cares for his community, not just this church, but the church everywhere. And in fact, he loves the church so much that he sent Jesus to die so that he could make the church his own, holy and set apart. And in fact, 1 Corinthians 3:17 reminds us that God so loved the church, so loves the church, that if anything destroys the church, that God will destroy that person. And so when we walk into church, God doesn't see a bunch of sinners who have come to get their names ticked off on the spiritual roll call. He isn't seeing a group of people that need to jump through these spiritual worship hoops, if you like, to make him happy. Now God is seeing his beloved children. He sees us coming together lovingly so that he can teach us and make us holy, so that he can train us in his word, so that he can in fact rebuke us and correct us through his word as we speak the word to one another. And he draws us together so that we can join one another in thankful response to him through our giving, through our singing, through our community stuff that happens here together based on what he has already done. You see, all that brouhaha that happens before the sermon on a Sunday morning is just as much a part of our response to what God is doing in our lives. As Tony Payne puts it, he says, as we walk into church, God is thinking something more like this. You are my beloved and adopted children. You are a gathering of my people, and I have already purchased you with the blood of my Son. He's thinking, you are pure and acceptable in my sight, not because you come to church nor by anything you do at church, but because of the cross. And so, friends, when we come to church, we are joining our brothers and sisters, really our family, to encourage one another in our walk with Jesus. That's why we come, to encourage one another in our walk with Jesus. You know, the question four we had there before was about the New Testament church. They didn't gather in purpose-built religious buildings like this. They came into people's homes, and sometimes they were in graveyards or in catacombs to gather together. They saw one another as a family, which is what we are. And so to be the church means that we are a church, a family that encourages one another to see ourselves as God sees us, as His beloved and adopted children who have been made holy and who are being made holy, pure, spotless, and blameless before Him in His Word. To be a church means to come together to encourage each other as we to see ourselves as God sees us. And so how do we actually do that? What does that actually look like week by week? Now, I'm going to give us some homework for us to do next time we come to church. I'm really hoping that next week we can actually be back here in person. Because the homework I'm going to give you this morning is something that's really easy, something that doesn't take a lot of preparation, something that each and every one of us can do as we come to church. And it's going to help us to think about how we can encourage one another here at church. And so our task this week is, before you come to church, pray about where to sit and who to talk to. That's it. Simple as that. Pray about where to sit and who to talk to. As you come to church, maybe you're in the car, maybe you're walking through the door, ask God, who should I sit next to? And who should I talk to? And who knows? You might actually just be surprised at how God answers that prayer, as you then seek to build other people up and encourage them to see themselves as God sees them, holy, pure, being made holy and pure, spotless and blameless, as we encourage one another. So pray about where to sit and who to talk to. That's our homework for this week, and hopefully we can see you in person next week as we do that. So let me pray for us as we pray that God will bless us as we kind of go on this journey and think through these things together. Let's pray. Lord, we first of all recognize that this is a bit of an unusual format for our services to take, and yet, nevertheless, it's really important and good for us to think through what it means to be the church, to build one another up and to encourage one another. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the church. We thank you for the gift of each other. We thank you for the gifts, the spiritual gifts that you give each one of us to build each other up. And so, Lord, as we think about what it means to be the church and not just to come to church, we pray that you will change us in this way. Help us to grow, to be people who love one another so much that we want to come to encourage one another as we speak the word to each other each week. Lord, may you change us, shape us, train us, rebuke us, correct us in your word as we grow in this as a community. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.